as we begin this message this morning, to turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 681. 681. Very familiar verse. It's a prophecy. Approximately 700 years before the birth of Christ, there in Bethlehem, the Lord had given this promise, this prophecy of the coming of Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The advent of the King. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. One of the many names, of course, that our Savior bears. Emmanuel, God with us. We're familiar with this verse because certainly at least once a year we see all these wonderful Christmas verses in the Old Testament. How faithful God is. And we see that this particular verse is made reference to by Matthew in his Gospel. There as it records the birth of Christ Jesus there in Bethlehem. And so he makes reference to this verse as God's fulfillment and how faithful God is to his word, to his promises. But I'd like you, as you're there in Isaiah, turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. We see that same name, Emmanuel, used, and the word is used twice. Emmanuel, in chapter 8, in verse 8. And it will sweep into the land, it will overflow and pass on, reaching to the neck and its outstretched, talking about, if you will, the Assyrian invasion. But I want to bring your attention to the name that is used there at the end of verse 8, reaching him to the neck and to the outspread wings, and will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Here, if you will, Isaiah is ascribing this proper name indeed to the Lord God. O Emmanuel. This is Emmanuel's land that they're coming in and invading. And so we see that indeed it's a term that we're very familiar with, as it's used as a proper name. But we also see something very interesting in the Hebrew, because in verse 10, take a look at verse 10, it says, take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. It's interesting because the Hebrew word there is Emmanuel, but it's used differently. You see, Emmanuel can be used in two ways, and we see that here in chapter 8. It can be used as a proper name, and it is indeed a proper name. God with us. When Jesus Christ came into this world, God with humanity. But also we see many other expressions of God with his people throughout the Old Testament too. But here we see it used as a declarative phrase, not as a proper name. A declarative phrase of relationship and presence. That God is with his people in all the times of stress, in all the times of trouble, and all the things, the circumstances of life, God is with his people. But that's a declarative promise that God gives us. I want to take that thought, if you will, and take a look as we go through the Word of God in these next few Sundays about God with us. It's called the Emmanuel Principle, oftentimes referred to in devotional books or even in Christian theology books, the Emmanuel Principle, God with us. And we'd like to take that time as we remember and rejoice in the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and all that he did beyond his birth in his death and resurrection. Emmanuel, for truly he is Emmanuel. There are other ways that, of course, the Bible describes that relationship and presence that God has with his people, with you and I. One of the ways that it's described in the Word of God is those who walk with God. They walk with Emmanuel, and he walked with them. They take out your outline, you'll see many, if you will, references, but before we look at the examples, we see an established principle for the believer, for you and I today who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're Christ's followers. And the Emmanuel principle, not just as a proper name for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it is, but also a declarative statement that God is with us. an established principle. You have it in your outline before. Walking with God is to be a lifestyle, not just a once in a while event, but a lifestyle that grows and develops and matures. Walking with God is to be the lifestyle of all who have believed in Jesus Christ, daily trusting in his work of redemption, obeying his commands, and delighting in his presence and fellowship through the indwelling Holy Spirit. That is, if you will, that's a statement or definition encompassing both Emmanuel as a proper name for our Lord and Savior. Emmanuel, truly he is. He's all of that and more. But also the declarative statement and promise that you and I can experience every day and throughout each day. The wonderful joy, the privilege, yes, but the wonder and the awe of God with us. The Emmanuel principle. Take a look, if you will, as it's expressed in that phrase, walking with God. Examples of people in the Old Testament who walked with God, we have Adam and Eve. Take a look, if you will, there in the garden from Genesis chapter 3. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and the boy and his wife had hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Of course, this is after they sinned and rebelled against God by doing exactly what God told them not to do. And that's sin. And sin brought a breakdown in that relationship. And so they no longer wanted to have the joy and the relationship and the fellowship with Emmanuel. The implication is here that God had a pattern in their lives, in fellowship with them, that he walked with them in the garden. Can you picture that? You know that's going to happen again. There's going to be another garden. Read there in the end of the book of Revelation. And God will be with his people. And we will walk with him. We will talk with him. Not that we can't do that right now. For God is with us. Another example, if you will, from the Old Testament, we have Enoch. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah. 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That phrase, repeated twice, is if you will, an identification tag for Enoch. Enoch walked with God. The implication is that God walked with Enoch as well. I find it interesting, don't you? That it says here, Enoch started walking with God after he started a family. How many times has that happened in your life, maybe? Or the lives of other Christians, is that when you're pressed with the responsibilities and the gravity of having a family, a son and a daughter, and you realize it's beyond your ability. And so you make that connection with God and you begin to walk with God because you know he's the resource. He's the wisdom that you need in raising a family. To raise a family today in any time, in any culture, without God in your life is scheduled for failure. If you don't believe that, just take a look at the culture that we live in right now. But also, you can take a look at some Christian families, too, that are falling apart. And that's why this message this morning, walking with God is so important. Like an Enoch, when you realize, for Christ's sake and for my family's sake, I, as a father, as a mother, as a grandfather, as a grandmother, well, I want to walk with God. And I want my kids and I want my grandkids to know that their dad, their mother, their grandfather, their grandmother, they were people that walked with God. Do you want that in your life? Amen. Amen. Let's go on. Not only Enoch, but also Noah. Noah, there are the generations of Noah. Noah is a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah, what? He walked with God. That set him apart from others. As it does in the life of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it sets them apart. People say, she walks with God. He walks with God. And there's some indications of that as well that we'll be looking at shortly. But also Abraham. Take a look at Abraham and that covenant that God made with Abraham and his offspring, if you will, following generations. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. They've walked with God. And there are men and women today who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you know that they've walked with God. You see it in their life. And it's not that they don't have, they have the talk, but they also have the walk along with it. You know what I mean? And they walk with God. Emmanuel, think of that. He came into your life. Not only came into this world, but he came into your life, into my life. If you've known him and you've come to know him as your Lord and Savior, he wants you to walk with him every day, throughout every day. And remember, if you will, here in the outline before you, remember that God tells us the Old Testament saints are to be examples for us. Take a look, if you will. Because sometimes you, people, when they say the Old Testament, oh, I want the Old Testament. How many times have you heard that? I've heard that many times. I've had in Christian church, I don't want the Old Testament. I love it. I want the whole, don't you? And so he's able for us to encourage us, to instruct us as a whole of his word. Whatever was written in former days was written for instruction and endurance and through the scriptures that we have what? Hope. The things that he gives to people, especially today, when people. Marriage is so hopeless. That's hopeless. Those who they have. We won't turn there, but I want to write down a verse. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. He is the God of hope. And he wants you and I to have hope. How do we do that? How do you do that? By walking with God. By walking with God. Let's go on. In the Word of God to walk. Begin with a question. God itself. Through his one of his prophets named and two walked together and said, a question. If they be agreed, what is the experience? No. The marriage is trying to do that. And you get them together. And they're walking together and raising them too. The obvious answer is can two truly walk together? And this is not only about my relationship to Emmanuel. As we kind of unless they be agreed to be one. To word yakah is a term that the parts together yakah is the Hebrew Israel, the Lord God is one. It defines oneness, but unity. And that's how God wants us. There is a heart to agree. It's a relational term. It's not just the meeting of the mind. Yes, it's that true. But much more than that. Which means place together. Lord, do a day. If you don't, you really are missing something. Together with the Lord every day. It doesn't mean that you aren't walking with between those times. It's important that you are in agreement. In devotion, that's what that word can be. That two people are devoted. In fact, it would be a term that would be about his wife. Did you know that? In mind, but in life. It goes on to say, there is also a direction. You have a direction. Can two people have a sin? No, they can't walk. I've said to a marriage, it doesn't work. I can tell you, you tell me that too. Plan. But sometimes I do that in my relationship with the Lord. I don't want the same direction. That's sin. That's sin. The Holy Spirit is right there. But this is all. Well, thank God. The evidence. Yes. Have, if you will, together, except they be. Unless there is determination, devotion to each other, and sanction of life. As you began to that's exactly the change of mind. But it's also, I constantly need those, you know, and I'm sure you should walk with the Lord. Micah 5:8. Sings this verse. Oh man, if men and women are, what is good? Don't you know? What is good? What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and walk with your God? Walk with your God. what is good and what is God. That we need to build this world. We created it. We need to change a lot. We need to do things that the Lord says are just righteousness. We need to be seeking that in our life. We need to be seeking that in Christ. And we need to be seeking that in Jesus Christ. We also need to be seeking that there. That's such a dainty, loving kindness. Here, it's translated from the same word that's translated. And the word speaks of a passionate desire. And you can say it in a paraphrased way, such a grace. The one you and I walk with every day. Thomas is saying that he is seeing the evidence of the gospel, the grace and the lies of his shepherd. Do you have that same desire? Along with being a kid. Walk humble. Many of the Bible women who walk humble. He knew the very Son of God. The second person of God, the Father, God, the Spirit. He came into his heart, even in Bethlehem. The one who created by his word, all consists in holding together. And he humbled. That's the illustration. As you have this devotion, make that in lives every day humbly with God. What is it? How is that experience working out? Well, walking with God, walk first of all, to walk. By feelings. We have sometimes you felt you walk with God, but it's not the matter to do with faith that it's on fact. No. But God's Savior, he walks with you and he wants you to walk in fact. And he promises to never leave you nor forsake you. And every moment of every day, you and I can walk, not because of how I feel, because sometimes I feel pretty. See, one more is that work of transforming to becoming more of us. It's not hit and miss. Lord, I'll see you again. Some people in the church and say, Lord, I'm not here. That means. Hey, therefore, in Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, really established in the faith, as you were taught about faith. Faith is what tells you who died for again. A Savior who is an advocate in heaven, who is the gift of the Holy Spirit, so you can walk with Him every day, every moment with Him every day. Sanctify the Lord in your life. I'll put that before you, because what is your experience walking up? Like this, is walking, but it's also walking. And don't forget those decision of the will, whether or not. It's about the direction of the mind. All the aspects of self. That experience, that fellowship of walking up, is a decision of the Lord. I am right that I'm walking with God. I'm willing to walk with God. Yes, that's right. But God promised that in the Psalms. I stumble too. Are you willing to walk up? It will make a difference in your relationship. It will make a difference in your life. It will make a difference in your life. But it begins. A devotion your love for him responds to his love for you. A devotion. I am yours. Because if I was going to go, if I would be going, I would be going. That's what I love. This devotion of the heart. Romans chapter 12 says, be transformed by the power of your mind. God is not only a step in faith, but it's also those steps in agreement. Agreement in our mind in kingdom. Sometimes why God is. Sometimes God hurt us and our father's wife will harm us. I find that. Sometimes we're not getting what we need because we're doing it. God and his righteousness, all these things. That sermon is a sermon about right now. Are you living the kingdom? Are you seeking the kingdom? It also means to walk with God and seeking the kingdom of God. How do you know you're ready? It's priority. In him and his priority your life, am I? We know what we practice. If you're really seeking the kingdom now, let me challenge you. 5, 6, and 7. Read Matthew. There in the Lord, he describes what he means for the believer today. Let him to come. Jesus Christ, the one who knows, the one who has been saved, is a part of God's kingdom. The apostle could say, why? Because those they make the choice of God. Beloved, around the world, and we are living the kingdom, living the dream. People say, I'm living the dream. Looks to me like the kingdom living now. Every day this week, we're talking about walking the night. This week, if you would read 6 and 7, kingdom living today. And you know what happens if you are? You know all that instability that you saw in your life, in your marriage, in your family? The Lord concludes that sermon with a wonderful application. He's saying, those who hear and do what I teach and command in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, they're going to be like the wise man who builds his house, his life, his marriage, his family upon the rock. And when the storms of life come, because they do come, that life, that marriage, that church, this church can endure. But if we are not obeying the things that we read and hear, in Christ's Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he said, that man, that woman, they're like the one who's foolish and builds their life, their marriage, their family, this church, on sand. Storms will come. Problems come. What happens? They fall apart. Kingdom living now. The last, if you will, expression of what it means to walk and experience walking with God is in humility. Humility. The greatest example of that humility that humbles of heart and humbles of life is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the very God of God, became a servant and humbled himself. What does that mean? Are you willing to humble yourself in service? You see, Christ humbled himself and served. Are you willing to humble yourself in suffering? Peter says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, then he goes on in that following chapter, humble yourself. Are we willing to humble ourselves in suffering? Instead of saying, Lord, why me? Why not Charlie over there? He deserves it more than I do. I don't deserve this suffering. I don't deserve this trial. No. Peter says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. You see, a humble heart is one who's willing to serve, willing to suffer for Christ's sake, because suffering is there. And those who will live godly will suffer persecution. Are you here again, willing to speak out. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Be ready always. Give a reason for the hope that you have. But do it with gentleness. That's a synonym for humility. Do it with gentleness. Are you humble? Are we humble? Three things. A humble person is willing to serve. A humble person is willing to suffer for Christ's sake. And a humble person is willing to speak out for Christ. We're in a time of the calendar year when we can speak and more people will listen. In your outline before you, you have seven realities. We won't read them, but I encourage you to read them. Seven realities of experiencing and walking with God. The personal applications, let me ask you these questions. In the application you have at the bottom of your sheet, are you walking with God today? Are you? How do you know it? Matthew 5, 6, and 7 will help you to determine that. Okay. Second question, do others see this in your life? Do our sons and daughters, do our grandchildren, do they see mom and dad is walking with the Lord? You know, beloved, if they don't, there's a problem. And it's not a problem in the home. It's a problem in the heart. Sometimes we think about the problems we have in the home are just there, like in our atmosphere, in our environment, when the reality is most of the problems in the home are really problems in the heart. If God was to ask you to do something extraordinary with him today, would you do it? And would you trust him? Walking with Emmanuel every day. God wants to do something in your life. With a humble heart that's willing to serve, yes, that maybe even willing to suffer for Christ's sake, but a humble heart that's willing to speak out for Christ and righteousness. The last one, will you ask him to use you throughout this week for his kingdom's sake? They walk with God. Think of that. Will that be spoken of you by your children, by your neighbor? Will that be spoken to me, by my children, by my grandchildren? I pray it will be. I do. I stumble. I have missteps, and I've had them, and I probably will have them. No, not probably. I will have them. But God's promised, if you have determined in your heart to walk in agreement with him, he will lift you up. He will lift you up. Father God, thank you. Thank you, that Father, that in your grace and mercy, that we who are sinners, saved by grace and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ and dwelt by your Holy Spirit, not because we earned it, not because we deserve it, but because of your grace, that by that same grace we could walk with you. Lord, help us as we have been grace receivers to be grace givers for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.